This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
Hey, I'm here for the big show.
This guy, Todd,
does he make you laugh?
He's funny.
He's amusing sometimes.
It's kind of a big show.
Okay, boys, hit it.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIM.
I'm William Shatner. I've done a lot of things in my career. But this takes the cake. This is so cool. You, Todd, today, it's all about you. This is phenomenal. You made parole.
It is The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. And yes, I am out on parole. Out for good behavior. You didn't know that about me, did you? No. That's not true. I'm an escapee. I've got the live stream up. It's on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. You can watch the show if you'd like. Or you can just listen on the radio or your iPhone or your Android or whatever you're listening to. I don't care. Just as long as you listen. Tonight on the show, we have a review of my trip to the Ancient Aliens Live last night.
I'm not saying it's space aliens, right? But it goes without saying it's space aliens.
And I accidentally left my tinfoil hat at home before I went. but it was a good time. It was a good time. I was there with some edgeheads. It was a lot of fun. It was an enjoyable evening. And surprisingly, this was at the Schuster. It was very, very well attended. I wasn't completely sold out, but there are more ancient alien believers here in the Miami Valley than what I had expected to see. And this is kind of goes back to what I was saying last week when we gave away the ticket, is that there's a very good chance that you might see some people there that you know who are closeted ancient alien believers. And that's exactly what happened. I saw a number of friends, a number of people that I knew. I thought, oh, I didn't know that. Did it? Okay, yeah, that was kind of cool. So we'll get to that because we also had an interesting experience before Ancient Aliens, the group that I was with. We were down in the Oregon District having some drinks and some food, and something we saw I have to talk about. It's just crazy. Also tonight we have tickets to give away for... It's a Dayton tradition. I'm talking, of course, about the Dayton Air Show. It's the CenterPoint Energy Dayton Air Show presented by Kroger. So this is how we're going to do it. Not right now, but tonight and throughout the week. When you hear this...
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
No, ma'am. This is not a good idea.
Sorry, Goose. But it's time to buzz the tower.
Yeah. So when you hear them buzz the tower, just be the fifth caller.
Great balls of fire!
Just be the fifth caller, 937-457-1290. And the reason that I picked that clip for the air show giveaway is, you know, the air show, this year they're going to have the Navy Blue Angels. They have the U.S. Air Force F-16 Viper demonstration team. They're going to have the U.S. Army Golden Knights. And this is just a few things. Tora, 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 which is always a big crowd pleaser. They've, of course, acrobatic teams. But the highlight, I think, this is the highlight. It's not the Blue Angels. Yeah, they're cool, right? It's not the Golden Knight parachute team. Yeah, that's fine. I'll tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be... the reasonable facsimiles of a Maverick and Iceman impersonator who are going to be on the grounds all weekend meeting and greeting the fans. So you can have a like a, almost like a real life encounter with Maverick and Iceman from Top Gun. That is exciting. So that's why we went with that clip. So when you hear that, be the fifth caller, 937-457-1290. All right, so last night, yes, went to the Ancient Aliens down at the Schuster Center. It was a lot of fun. I will say, you know, it was a panel of three guys. Giorgio Tsouklos, the guy that has the crazy hair that's on the History Channel and does Ancient Aliens. And then there were two other gentlemen with him that I don't remember the names right offhand. Maybe if you are a fan of the show, you'll know who I'm talking about. And then there was a moderator. But they all just kind of sat there. And it was almost a lecture. And it was okay. It was fine. And they had a big screen, and they showed clips of the show and different things. And I thought it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I would have liked some audience interaction. You know, the beginning of May, I was asked to moderate an evening with Phil Rosenthal, who does the TV show on Netflix, Somebody Feed Phil. And we only talked for like, 45 minutes, just like sort of an interview, chit-chat, one-on-one. And then we did another 45 minutes of questions from the audience. And the people lined up, and you had people asking questions of Phil from all different age groups. Last night, they didn't have that. They didn't do a Q&A, and it was just a couple of, generic questions, supposedly, from the audience. And it just wasn't very interactive. It would have been nice if they would have actually talked to the people. But anyways, it was good fun. But before we went to the Schuster, it was me and three other folks. A couple of edgeheads were there. Well, they were all edgeheads. They're all listeners to the show. And I thought, well, this might be fun. They invited me to go. I took my friend Tim, who I co-host the Dark Edge podcast with. We're kind of into the sort of alien and, you know, unexplained phenomena, that whole deal. So I thought this would be fine. So we go, and I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant. It was nice, and the server was great. The food was wonderful. The beer was cold. That's all that mattered. However, we were sitting in the sort of big living room or the dining room area of this bar/restaurant down in the Oregon District. And in there was a large family, and I'm assuming that maybe they were celebrating something, a birthday or anniversary or something. And in their group was a young mom and dad that had two little kids. One was a toddler, okay? And the toddler was sitting on the table, just sitting on the table. Now, I don't think that's such a great idea, not very safe, but look, it's not my kid, right? If the kid, God forbid, falls off and hurts himself, no skin off my nose. I'm just being honest, right? But what I saw this kid do, I was perplexed by and startled by, because mom watched him do it and just let him keep doing it. So he's sitting on the table, and he picks up one of those little jars of Parmesan cheese that one might, sprinkle on a pizza, right? So this kid, he's shaking it, and then he's licking the top of it. Yeah, he's licking the top of this Parmesan cheese jar. He's licking it, going to town. And mom is just watching him do it. And I was like, what are you doing? For one, would you let your kid pick up a penny off the ground and put it in their mouth? No, you wouldn't let them do that. A condiment jar sitting on a table is not the most hygienic thing, because everybody comes in and they use it. And you don't know who's using it. You don't know who's washed their hands. You don't know who's got the flu or the cooties or whatever, right? That's not, it's bad enough to just pick it up, you know, and use it. You don't think about it. But this kid's licking it. Then, during this time, the kid knocks off a couple of bottles of, like, hot sauce. Like those little thin bottles, you know. And they're on the ground, and they're rolling around on the ground. So I'm like, this is ridiculous. And even the people that I'm sitting with are like, oh, my God, look at that. Did you see that? So I'm thinking, well, what should I do? Do you do anything? Do you stand up and confront these parents and go, what are you doing? How do you let your kids do, you know? No, I don't. I'm not going to do that. Maybe some people would, but not me. So I just kind of sit there and wait to see what happens. Like when they get up and leave, are they going to be like, hey, server, our kid was licking the hell out of this bottle. You might want to, you know, wash it. Or are they just going to leave it on the table? And so they're finishing up, and I see them getting up, and they grab their kids and everything. And by the way, it wasn't just mom and dad. I mean, I'm sure there was aunt and uncles and probably grandma and grandpa there. It was a large group. But they get up, and they put the jar back on the table and the little holder and the two bottles that were rolling around on the floor, and they just put them back there, and they just start to walk out. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, they're just going to leave it there on the table and not tell anybody. Well, by chance, the server was standing right there. She had just brought me my eighth beer. No, it wasn't my eighth beer, but she brought us some food and some drinks, whatever. And I said, look, I asked her to come close because they were standing like 5-6 feet away. I said, look, I don't like to complain, but that jar over there of Parmesan, that kid was just licking the heck out of it. I mean, the top part. And she's like, oh, you know, she kind of, oh. And at that point, out of the corner of my eye, I see mom look in our direction. And she sees the server go over and pick up the jar and walk to the back of the restaurant. So she knew. But I just can't understand how somebody could be so negligent. I mean, it's bad enough that you let your kid lick something like that on a table. Why don't you just let him lick the top of the table or lick the chair? I mean, it's the same thing. Right? But then to not say anything, even though she sat there and watched him do it. I just don't understand how somebody could be so oblivious and not care about anybody else or, you know, who's coming in afterwards to eat. I'm perplexed by it. There's no explanation for it. No explanation for it. I mean, if my kid had done that, he would have gotten a smack right probably behind his head. And I would have been smacked too if I was doing it. In this case, mom was just sitting there holding on to the child so he doesn't fall off the table. Never mind his slobber all over the Parmesan cheese. Oh, my God.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. O.
Double D.
H.
O.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
You gotta tune in, man. You gotta tune in.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Well, it's official. The Evening Edge and WHIO is sponsoring the Spirit of the Forest Bigfoot Festival. It's happening in Greenville. Need time to plan. It's a lot of Bigfoot fun for the whole family. And I'm very excited to be involved with this. So if you want details, go to my Facebook page. You will see a, quite impressive photo of me encountering a Sasquatch. And a lot of the details. So you can, again, Curtis in Centerville. What's going on, Curtis?
I almost want to puke in my mouth when I heard what that kid was doing to that Parmesan.
Yeah, you shouldn't be licking a Parmesan bottle like that at a restaurant.
No.
Do it.
Let him lick the bottom. A great point. Question. How do the things people complain about millennials is because our generation,
I suppose, but I'll tell you what, I think, and if I act it up, knock it off.
Right.
And mold, you can't do that. If you correct some other kid or, you know, some other parent's child, then it becomes like an attack. You know, they're triggered.
Yeah,
and it's like...
You did the right thing. I think you did the best thing. The only thing I would have done, I would have said, make it public. Go, excuse me, waitress. That kid just had his tongue halfway down that Parmesan thing. You might want to get that back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
Well, I think I timed it. I think I timed it just right, Curtis. The fact that what's that?
Now I don't have to worry that the next place I go has slobber down in the Parmesan.
Right. That's yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I love the show.
Oh well, thank you, Curtis. I appreciate it. all I was going to say is that I timed it right. You know, I told the server that the kid was licking the Parmesan cheese jar while mom and dad were still in earshot. So they got the point.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Local grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Don't give me that politics jazz. It's not my racket.
People are tired of hearing nothing but doom and despair on the radio.
Everyone just relax, all right?
The problems of the world are not in my department.
Now who would like a cookie?
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Live stream is up on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And speaking of people behaving badly in public... I was just talking about this kid that I saw over the weekend. He was at a bar downtown with his family and his mom and dad, and he was sitting on the table and he was licking the heck out of a Parmesan jar right there on the table. Just going to town. And when they were done, mom and dad just left it on the table. So, of course, I told the server. But that was before we went and saw Ancient Aliens down at the Schuster. During the Ancient Aliens live performance, two or three rows in front of me, there was a guy, I'd say probably in his late 20s, maybe early 30s, and his phone starts ringing. Now, of course, they tell you, turn off your phone, or at least mute it. So the phone rings once, and everybody's looking around because you know it's close to you. Then it rings again. And then I see the guy, and he's trying to get his hands on it, so I'm assuming to turn it off, right? Well, he's standing there, and he's got a drink in one hand and his phone in the other, and he gets up to go take the call. But here's the problem. He just lets it keep ringing. And he's in the middle of the theater, so it takes him, you know, a minute or so to get out of his chair because he's crawling over a bunch of people and to go down the aisle and then across the side to the door. And the whole time, it's ringing. It's making this beeping sound. And even George Tsouklos, who's up on stage, the guy with the crazy hair who believes in the ancient aliens, he's like, is that the aliens trying to contact us? You know, the guy's phone. It's like, how could you just be so oblivious? I'm guessing that he, as a kid, that person with the phone, probably used to lick Parmesan jars, 100%. And was allowed to get away with it. John in Fairborn, what's up?
Well, this happened in Springfield about 35 years ago. It's one of those all-you-can-eat buffet things.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the name of the place. But my wife at the time, we went there. And, you know, you get your tray, your plate, and then you go down the line picking out whatever you select. And I out of the corner of my eye, the guy next to me, I see... He's using the ladle and then he's testing the food and putting it back. And if he wasn't quite sure, he would sc- scoop in a couple of times, make sure you like the selection. And I'm going, well, God, my ex looks over there and she sees, we're roll our eyes and we're going, well, thank God he's behind us. But I was going to tell the lady at the end, you know, when I paid.
Yeah.
Right when I was about to say something, he started walking up and I said, oh, God, he'll hear me. I don't want to end up throwing punches in a restaurant.
Well, see, this is why I didn't confront the young couple.
Yeah, exactly. So my wife said, come on, let's just sit down and get the heck out of here. So we sit down in the booth. And then we smell this horrible smell. And we look up. It's the same guy. He smelled like Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, wow.
So he was gross in every manner.
No, I got you.
Know?
Yeah.
We didn't take one bite of our food. We
got
up and
left. Yeah, just get up and leave. I would have done the same. That's pretty disgusting, John. I appreciate your call, buddy. Andy and Dayton. What's up, Andy?
So – I go door to my job. I go door to door. I work for a company. We provide. I'm not going to plug my company, but we have services. And we go door to door and let people know what we have.
Right.
Today, I had a young man answer the door. Obviously, not old enough to be the bill payer in the house.
Yeah.
And I introduce myself. I say who I'm with, and he acts like he doesn't hear me. Well, I'm loud. I'm very, very loud. So I repeat it a couple of times, and I even hold up my business card. And he like accosts me and tells me, you know, like, you don't get it, you shouldn't be doing this, and whatever. And I'm like, and the thought just hits me, it's like this whole generation is being raised by another generation that had no consequences.
Yeah.
So like John's situation there, he was afraid to say something about Pepe Le Pew because he was afraid that the guy might hit him in the mouth because John grew up like I grew up.
Yeah.
When there were consequences to your actions.
Right. Right.
You know, parents are afraid to punish children for bad behavior right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's out of control. And I, you know what? And here's the thing. Every time a topic like this comes up on the show, I feel and I sound like an angry old guy who's just had it with this generation. You know, I know that's what it sounds like, but my gosh, you know, it's like, I can't imagine in a million years, my parents ever letting me get away with licking anything on the table.
Our parents were our bullies.
Yeah.
If my kid talked to anybody like that, I would let him have it.
100%.
Like, you know, we live in the world of cyberbullies. No one's actually going to punch you in the face today.
I guess not. All right, Andy. I appreciate your call, buddy. Thanks for listening. We have cars into buildings. We got to talk about this.
Crash car. In local news, a spectacular car crash.
Car. House car.
So this was kind of interesting. You know, last Friday, I think it was Friday, we had that horrible story. And I believe the woman is recovering, hopefully. She was from, I believe, Illinois, and she was at a campground up north somewhere. And the story that we had, it's on WHIO.com, is that a golf cart that was unmanned somehow managed to start itself and take off and just out of control. And it hit this woman, and she was injured. She was taken to the hospital. But at the end of that incident, the rest of the story was that the golf cart crashed into a mobile home and wedged itself underneath. Now, I didn't think of it at the time. I totally didn't think about it because I was focused on the story of this woman being injured and trying to figure out how a golf cart could just randomly start moving. Right? I mean, that sounds odd to me because I've driven golf carts before. It's been a while. Maybe golf carts are a little different now than what they used to be, but they don't really go anywhere unless somebody puts the pedal down because they're electric. So I don't know how it happened. I guess it could have. I'm no engineer. I'm no mechanic by any stretch, but I guess it could happen. But somebody over the weekend pointed out to me that, in fact, and this is 100% accurate, the golf cart is a mobile vehicle, right? It's a vehicle. It counts because the RV is a home. It's a mobile home. So this is the first time I think that this has ever occurred where a vehicle, not necessarily a car or a truck, has slammed into an RV. So that counts. But then I started thinking, it's like, well, what if there are accidents out on the highway where a car runs into an RV? Do we count that? I think we have to. It's a new category that nobody had ever thought of until over the weekend, and I got that message from Chris, Edgehead Chris. So thank you for that. So that would be number 58. If you're keeping the tally, of course, brought to you by our good friends.
Our name is Tires.
At Tires Unlimited.
Unlimited.
So that's 58. Then this morning we had one in Troy. One person in custody after a car crashed into a Troy home while running from state troopers. And a trooper with Highway Patrol told News Center 7 that the car involved ran from a traffic stop on Interstate 75. And they were taken into custody after they crashed into the house. And in fact, it's quite the picture. You can see it on WHIO.com. The bricks on the side of the house, it looks like they hit right under a window. The bricks are gone. However, one of the tires from the car is still stuck in the side of the house. At least it was when the picture was taken. I'm sure it's been removed by now, but you can see the picture. So that would be 59. Then, right before the show, or right as the show was beginning, we were still in the news, but I was sitting in here watching the Channel 7, and Taylor Robertson was up in Springfield. And all I saw, because I didn't have the audio on in here, was her standing in front of a garage with a giant hole in the side. And then there was video of a car that looks like it had crashed into this garage. So I called the news desk and I said, the breaking news desk. And I said, hey, can you confirm what's the story with this? And yes, in fact, yesterday morning, a car crashed into this person's garage. And according to the report, which they're going to talk about here at 6 o'clock, apparently the owner of the house had to tackle the driver because the driver tried to flee, but he tackled the driver and, kept him under wraps until the cops got there. But that counts. A garage is a structure and you can see the damage for sure. So that is number 60. So we are number 60 for the year in cars crashing into buildings. Consider yourself updated. Paul in Fairborn. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Todd, long-time listener here from Fairborn. I got kind of a restaurant story for you.
Yeah.
You know, we was talking about, you know, entitled. To me, it's just like people think they're entitled anymore, and they just don't have, you know, respect and courtesy for people. But when my wife and I have been married for 35 years, and when our twins were born, number 4 and 5, those are our number 4 and 5, when our twins were born, you know, of course, my wife's at home watching the twins, and she ran a daycare a little bit at home, so she's always around crying kids.
Yeah.
Well, so when I got paid on the Friday, I said, honey, we're going out to dinner. So that's when Ryan's used to still be in existence. So my wife and we went to Ryan's. We paid the money. We sat down, just got our food and sat down. And next to us, a couple sat down with 3 kids and a baby in a pumpkin seat. And that child did nothing but scream and cry the whole time. You'd think they would have got up, taken it out, you know, or took it to the restroom. But the whole time, they just let it cry, let it scream and holler. And their kids were running around the restaurant. And my wife looked at me. She goes, I could have stayed home for this.
Exactly.
Right?
When you go and you go to a restaurant, you expect a certain level of decorum, right?
Exactly.
You're not asking for a lot. And I understand that the kids will cry from time to time. But
take them out.
You take them outside and you cool them off. You let them settle down.
I mean, only thing I had to do was look at my kids or snap my fingers, and they knew the next step was we're either going to the bathroom or out to the car.
That's exactly right.
You know, I didn't want to inconvenience somebody else who's trying to have a dinner or whatever. So,
but it just doesn't matter anymore, Paul. It's all about the narcissistic self. You know, that's what
exactly.
It's sort of become.
And the thing that bothered me about the kid licking the Parmesan cheese. It didn't bother me that the parents let their kids lick the Parmesan cheese top because, I mean, hey, if they don't let their kids lick germs, that's their problem.
Right.
But my problem I had with is the people who come in after who are going to sit there, shake that thing, and get all kinds of cooties and slobber and everything in their food. That's
kid
what
cooties.
Bothers me.
Yeah, that was my biggest issue. If a kid misbehaves, and I appreciate your call, Paul, if a kid misbehaves in that situation and licks the bottle, and you couldn't stop them. You're like, oh, I'm so sorry. My kid licked this. Please take this back and, you know, replace it or whatever. But they saw the kid do it, and then they said nothing. They just got up and they left, and left it for somebody else to deal with.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T-O-double-D-H-O-double-L-S-T.
I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Well, he has quite the reputation.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny, on WHIO.
Our name is Todd.
Oh, that's the wrong one. hold on. I meant to
now
play.
There we go. Requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
No, ma'am. This is not a good idea.
Sorry, Goose, but it's time to buzz the tower.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. If you'd like to go to the Dayton Air Show, be the fifth caller, 937-457-1290. It's happening the weekend of June 22nd and 23rd at the Dayton International Airport. And I've got tickets to give away all weekend, or all week. You're going to have four tickets and a parking pass. And the Blue Angels will be there, among other great aviation performance teams. But what I'm looking for, and they're actually going to be there, the Maverick and Iceman impersonators, all dressed up in their flight gear. They even look like Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise. So you can have your very own encounter with the dudes from Top Gun. Cowboy Jim in Brookville, what's up, Cowboy Jim?
There's a local buffet, and it's got kind of a Western theme.
Yes, the Golden Corral.
Oh, man. Anyway, they've changed their utensil policy. They don't have them in the containers where the plates are, which
right.
is great. You get your individual utensils in a
yeah.
little paper bag. Great
nice.
Stuff.
Good.
And I have been known to sit and wait to where they bring fresh dishes out.
Sure.
And then I'll grab my three plates at once.
Right.
So, you know, they is. Sanitary as possible.
No, I got you. Especially that was a big deal after COVID. You know, a lot of those places
oh, yeah.
didn't reopen because of that. And I think it made a lot of people think twice about going to places like that. But
yeah.
I got you, Cowboy Jim.
Hey,
what
about Saturday? Are you going to be able to make
it? We're going to see. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've got other stuff going too. But I appreciate your call, Cowboy Jim. So 937-457-1290 coming up. We've got naked news. You gotta love naked news. Also, crazy story about an animal attack.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
It's that time again.
Something told me to turn on the radio.
It's showtime!
This is great. It's a nice break.
This guy, Todd.
Monday through Friday.
Getting restless.
5 to 7.
All right, I'm listening.
Let's start the show.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. If you'd like to watch the show, you can do so on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. We call it the Evening Edge live stream. Fun for the whole family. And I keep my clothes on. And generally, there's no swearing. So, You can watch it as a family. Coming up. All right, there's a debate going on right now on the live stream. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up. So last hour, we had an update on our Cars into Buildings tally. And over the weekend, I received a message from Edgehead Christopher about the incident that happened, I think it was last Thursday or Friday, about a runaway golf cart that was at a campground somewhere up north. The cart somehow started itself magically, ghostly, hit a person who was injured and they had to go to the hospital. But then the golf cart wedged itself underneath an RV. And I got this message and I thought, oh, that makes sense, because Christopher's argument was that golf cart is in fact a vehicle, and he made the comparison, the RV being a mobile home, and it is sort of a mobile home. It's a home for people on wheels, mobile home. So I thought about this, and I conferred with a few folks, and I thought, I think we should count this, because it is a vehicle, the golf cart, crashing into what ostensibly is a home. Granted, it's on wheels, but it's a home. Recreational vehicle, sure, that's what they call it. So I thought we'll add it to the list. So now we would be at 60. Well, the debate is raging on the live stream right now whether or not an RV should be counted as a building, a structure of some sort. Now, when we've talked about cars crashing into buildings and the minutiae of the rules and the guidelines, we basically say if it's a structure and it has a door, then it counts. Because remember, we had a big semi-truck crash into a water tower last year, the one down in West Carrollton. And we talked about this to ad nauseum, whether or not we should include it. And what we came up with is that if a vehicle hits a structure that has a door, you could sort of live in that structure, right? I'm not saying that living in a water tower would be comfortable, though that right there might be an idea for a sitcom, a family that lives in a water tower. But we kind of decided, it's like, look, if the structure has a door, then it counts. Right? It doesn't count if it hits a bridge, if a car hits a bridge. That's a structure, but it's not a building, and it doesn't have a door. So that's why I thought this mobile home / RV has a door. Now, it doesn't have a foundation like a normal building. I get that. But if people live in it, you could call it a home. So what do we do here? Because there's just as many people on the live stream supporting the notion that we should add this to our list, and then there are those opposing this idea that an RV is an RV. In fact, it's right there in the title. It's a vehicle. So I don't know. I'm throwing it out there for debate. Yes, it also has a toilet. That's an excellent point, Laura. An excellent point. It has a toilet. So, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm Democratic, and if people, think that we should count it, great. If you think we shouldn't, that's also fine. We will decide as a group, because, I'm trying to be Democratic here. Little D, by the way. 937-457-1290. We got a couple of stories. A couple of weeks ago, we had some stories about people making an honest mistake. And I saw these two stories, and they caught my attention. One happened here. The other one happened in Evansville, Indiana. I'll do the first one. The first one's from Ohio. There's a playground up in Columbus that was scheduled to be demolished. I guess the playground had fallen in disrepair, and the city said, "Okay, we're gonna level this playground, and I guess rebuild something new for the kids." So they hired a contractor, and the contractor went out with their orders. You know, they got their orders right there to level this particular park. Well, unfortunately, they targeted the wrong park. This particular playground, it was a preschool playground that was being replaced, but they inadvertently demolished the city's playground instead. So there was a school playground, and then there's the city playground. And they were supposed to take out the school's playground, but they didn't. They took out the city playground instead. So now they're trying to figure out what to do. What are we going to do about this? The contractor, at least they've taken full responsibility. They're going to replace it with a brand new playground at their own cost. So that's nice. But that's, you know, we hear stories like that. And there's probably even been movies and TV shows where somebody shows up, we're going to demolish the house. They demolish the house. Turns out it's the wrong house. And then lots of times you're just SOL. At least that's the way the stories are spun often. But, you know, so that's oops. You know, I made an honest mistake, but that's a pretty big one. Leveling an entire playground, the wrong playground. And then the second one, this happened in Evansville, and this is a major whoops. Oops. A mother and her 7-day-old daughter were reunited after her car was taken by a repossession agency. So this mom stops at a daycare so she can drop off her older kid and leaves the 7-day-old daughter in the back of her car. Now, this was just a week or so ago. Leaves the kid in the car, goes in, drops off the other kid, comes outside, and her car is gone. Sees it driving off. So she calls the police and says, "Hey, my car's been stolen and my kid's in the back." So imagine the panic of that. When she called the 911 operator, though, the dispatcher was aware of something that mom didn't know. It was that the repossession company contacted them and said, "Hey, we're repossessing this car. So if you get a call that it's stolen, it's not stolen." And they went through the proper chain of command and whatnot. So mom was told, "Hey, your car was not stolen. It was repossessed." But the kid was still in the back. So officers contacted the repossession agency and told them that the kid was in the back seat. And the driver, once the driver realized there was a baby in the back, pulled over, called the police, and, you know. And they're not, they say that they're, at this point, there's no charges going to be filed. But here's the question. Mom was kind of idiotic, I think, in my opinion, to leave a 7-day-old baby in the backseat of a car for any amount of time. Now, I know she's just running in, and we all think that. We're just running in. My kid was in daycare, and I remember dropping him off. I'm just running in. But you don't leave your car running because somebody's going to steal it. Thieves target daycares. If you didn't know that, you should. But they do. Mom left the car running, by the way. You know, she didn't turn it off and take her keys and leave the kid. She left the kid with the motor running. So that's not very bright. But then there's the repossession guy. Now, I've never been in that business, and we've had repossession folks, repo man, women, call the show before. We talked about it a couple of months ago. I would think that if they don't do it already, if a repo man or woman gets in a car that they're going to confiscate and there's a car seat in the back, you might want to take a look just to make sure, especially in front of a daycare. Especially in front of a daycare. So that's a major, major oops. 937-457-1290. Miles in Dayton. What's up, Miles?
Todd?
Yes.
Love the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I gotta disagree with one of your opinions.
Oh, that's fine.
So, not talking about the person leaving their baby in the car.
Okay.
Back to the cars crashing into houses.
Right. Is a RV, does it count as a mobile home or is it just a recreational vehicle?
Mobile homes, I lived in them for 10 years.
Okay.
All right? When you park a mobile home, they put them up on blocks. It's permanent.
That makes sense.
If it's on wheels, it's mobile, but it's not a home.
That makes sense. I think that is a valid argument.
If a car crashes into something on wheels, that's not a house.
Okay.
Right?
Now, what if it was a mobile home being transported to a mobile home park and a car crashes into the home that's on the trailer?
That's a traffic accident.
We're splitting hairs here. I know.
Because I had my mobile homes moved several times.
Wow.
And when they put them where they're at, they put them on blocks.
Well, that makes that's Miles. That's a great argument.
They put anchors down so that when the tornado, the 65 tornadoes that come through Ohio,
right,
don't blow them away. But sometimes they do.
That's the hope. Well, Miles, you make a great argument. I appreciate it.
You cannot count anything on wheels as a crashed into a home.
Okay. I think that's a great point. I will confer with my associates on this. Okay?
I love your show.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good one, Miles. There you go. All right. Well, maybe we have to have this discussion. We have to have a deeply detailed discussion between myself and the people that tally this for us, you know?
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Something told me to turn on the radio.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Remember this song, The Vapors, Turning Japanese? This might be one of those songs that is no longer PC, I don't know, but but this song reminds me, or let me back up, this story that I'm about to share with you reminds me of this song. Normally I don't talk about fertility on this show. But apparently in Japan, their fertility rate has dropped so low that at some point there's not going to be anybody in Japan left. At least that's what they're saying. They say that the nation of 123.9 million people only recorded 727,277 births last year. That's not a lot. It's really not. And basically, they say for a population to remain stable, the fertility rate needs to be of 2.1 or above. The rate there is now 1.20. So it's dropping. That's not the story. The story is that the Tokyo City government is trying to reverse this. So the Tokyo City government has launched a dating app to try to get young Japanese couples together and encourage them to have babies. And here's the best part. AI will make the matches. It's going to go through all the questions that these young couples answer, and AI is going to help them connect. That is interesting. The city government is launching a dating app. That makes me laugh.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O-D-D-H-O-L-L-S-T.
I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Be of good cheer and call me.
Call me now!
Call me!
He's laughing at us right on the radio.
The least we can do is get him on the radio and talk to him.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Got the live stream up running on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. William, my producer, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of an actor by the name of Nick Pasquale?
No, I have no clue who that is.
So he was on shows called How I Met Your Mother. I know that show. And then Archive 81. I don't know what that is. But his name is Nick Pasquale or Pascal, whatever. I'd never heard of this guy before. I looked him up on the Google, and maybe he looks familiar, but not really. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup if I had to. But he was arrested, I guess it was a week or so ago. He was arrested attempting to flee the United States into Mexico. So he's an actor,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to get out of the country. And it turns out, and this is crazy, and I don't know why this isn't a bigger story. He is accused of stabbing his girlfriend 20 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Apparently, this guy, Nick Pasquale, he's 34. He's been charged with one count of attempted murder, one count of first-degree residential burglary, with a person present, and one count of injuring a spouse, cohabitant, fiance, boyfriend, girlfriend, or child's parent. Oh, boy, that's very wordy. But anyway, apparently this took place after the actor broke into the girlfriend's house in California, Sunland, California, about 4:30 in the morning. There was some sort of altercation, and according to police, he stabbed her at least 20 times. And then the victim was later found in a bloody scene by a relative there at the house. I guess the woman is okay. I mean, she's recovering.
Yeah, I mean, they said it was attempted murder, so like...
Yeah, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around this idea that, that this... Because he's 34, and then he tried to escape the country. It's just a weird story. I mean, the last time we had a story like that was, I mean, honestly, was OJ.
Yeah.
An actor stabbing a love interest, killing them. I mean, in this case, she didn't die, thankfully, but I've just never heard of this guy.
Mm-mm.
But now, you know, and maybe that's why it's not such a big story. Maybe he's like a, you know, semi-professional actor.
Yeah, he looks like a B-lister.
Yeah, yeah. But he'll probably star in some of the prison productions.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he goes to jail. We'll get that guy. He's a real actor. We've got some animals.
There is a wild side to every animal.
In the news.
You like when animals attack magicians.
Animals took revenge.
Animals attack.
Craziest animal attack story.
You're about to find out when animals attack.
Well, this is just a coincidence, but right now on Channel 7, they're talking about a teen who was bitten by a shark and loses a hand and leg. And I'm not sure where this was at. Florida, maybe? But there have been a number of shark attacks down there. This story is from Kansas. There is a zoo there. The Kansas Zoo, I guess, was temporarily evacuated yesterday. Now, what would cause... What would cause a zoo to evacuate? Well, some sort of animal getting on the loose or nearly getting loose. That's what happened. Apparently, they have three Syrian brown bears on display there at the zoo. It's the City of Independence in Kansas. Yeah, Independence, right? Independent, or is, yeah, I think. Anyway, the City of Independence posted on their Facebook that visitors were ushered out of the Ralph Mitchell Zoo when one of the Syrian brown bears attempted to escape from its enclosure. Apparently, at one point, the bear, right in the view of everybody, started digging a tunnel underneath the fence to try to get out. The bear never made it out of the enclosure confines, but she did manage to dig under the viewing platform and slip barely out of sight of staff. Well, that's got to be, you know, unnerving when one of your bears missing. Where'd it go? Officials say that the incident was resolved in about 10 minutes. So nothing, I mean, but imagine being in a zoo and suddenly everybody starts running. You're like, what are you doing? And, yeah, it's like Jurassic Park or, you know, any of the crazy movies we've seen where that happens, where a lion gets loose or something. But that's that happened there in Kansas. And then this story, this is horrifying. I saw this. This is from, I believe this was in India. Yeah, a missing woman, went, or a 45-year-old woman went missing on Thursday night. Her husband organized a group of residents from their village to search for her. So they went out searching. On Friday, they found a 16-foot-long reticulated python with a protruding belly. So, what did they do? They decided that they were going to capture this python and cut it open just to see. And lo and behold, they found this guy's wife. The python had swallowed her entirely. 16-foot python. And I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine that. And there's video of it. You don't want to see the video. I mean, it's pixelated out, but you don't want to see the video. Reticulated pythons are known as some of the world's largest snakes. They grow to an average of 16 feet long and can weigh around 165 pounds, the largest ever found, 32 feet, a 30-foot long snake. That's insane. And weighed 350 pounds. They say despite their large size, fatal python attacks on humans are rare as the reptiles mainly feed on larger rodents. But how I'd be curious to know how that happens. I mean, I've seen videos of pythons, you know, the whole deal, and they just start to wrap around, but she must not have been paying attention or something. I would think you'd be able to escape that, but maybe not. That's a crazy, crazy, scary story. 937-457-1290. I mentioned this last hour. This is very exciting. I need my official Bigfoot sounder here. The Evening Edge and WHIO Radio is sponsoring the Spirit of the Forest Bigfoot Festival. Now, this is in October, so you got plenty of time, and it's a free event, absolutely free. There's going to be fun activities. It's going on up in Greenville on October 11th and 12th. And we are finalizing all the plans. I'm going to be up there one day doing my show or the podcast, the Dark Edge podcast with my partner, Tim DeBusk. So we'll see what's going to happen. But that weekend, it's Friday and Saturday. It starts at noon on Friday and then runs until 9 o'clock on Saturday. So put it on your calendar. There's details on my Facebook page. You can go there and get a link to the website, and you can see all the fun, Bigfoot fun, family fun that they've got planned. Plus, there's a cool picture of me and Bigfoot, so if you want to check it out. Clem and Eden, what's going on, Clem?
Hey, Toddy boy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Clem. How are you?
I just hate to say this, but I love your show. I love your show.
But
go ahead.
No, you love my show, but I felt like there was a caveat in there.
I hate them. I hate them daggone casino bells, though. I hate them.
Why do you hate the casino bells?
They just drive me crazy.
Who doesn't love casino bells? Casino bells are the sound of joy. That means you've won something. You're the winner. You've hit the jackpot, Clem.
I'm a gambling addict. I'm an addict. But I just wanted to tell you, it makes my hearing aids go crazy. I got turned down sometimes. But I do love your show. I wanted to thank you for – don't do it again now. Okay. But I just A-I-O, you talking about them Japanese people over there in Japan.
The dating app, yeah, the city of Tokyo. They're trying to hook up their young couples and get their kids procreating again.
Exactly. Whatever that means. And they're all – I just wanted to tell you that AIO is I've been doing that on the farm for a long time.
No. You're misunderstanding, Clem. It sounds like you're saying AEI or what are you saying?
AIO or like AIO. Yeah.
Right. This is different. This is artificial intelligence, AI.
Right, AIO. So I was going to say I just wanted to let you know that we've been doing this on the farm and over here in Enon, Ohio.
You've been doing what on the phone or on the farm?
On the farm. I've noticed that when I was listening to you on the air today, they're using AI in Japan, and I just want to let you know that we've been doing it with our horses and goats and cows because we have to have offsprings.
Sure.
And so
I get it. Yeah.
That AI for a long time.
Are there a shortage of cows? Are there a shortage of chickens? Are we short on farm animals?
Well, I'm not because I'm using the AI, but some people do have problems. They keep them separated and it doesn't work.
So explain to me then, Clem, because my grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Fryman, they were farmers, and I spent a little time on the farm. I'd love to know how you use AI to help your cows procreate.
Yeah, you was talking about them bear skin rugs you used to play with.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had a bear. Yeah, we had a pet bear.
You had a wild childhood, young man.
Yeah.
But we just use AI. It's I don't know if I can say this on the air, but it's artificial insemination.
Oh, yes.
A long time.
I gotcha. Yeah.
My wife calls it awesome insemination, but what it's me, but you know.
No, I got it. Clem, well, I hadn't thought about AI in those terms. So,
yes. Yeah.
I learned something tonight.
But you know, my wife is pretty homely. I mean, she's pretty.
And she's at home?
Homie. Yeah. No, she's homie. She's homie.
Homie.
She's a home girl.
Okay.
Yes, homie. I think I'm in trouble. I'm digging a very dig.
I got
dig
you. I got you.
Here, but try to save me. Just save me. Just
okay.
Let me go. And
yeah,
I'll
let you
know
let you go.
Come and go to the farm anytime you want.
I'm going
to
let you go, Clem. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. There you go. I love this show.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
What do we know about this guy, Mr. Hot Stuff?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Tomorrow on the show, I'm going to have another family four-pack of tickets and a parking pass for the CenterPoint Energy Dayton Air Show presented by Kroger. It's happening June 22nd and 23rd. And yeah, it's the 50th anniversary. Holy cow. That's a long time. And that's quite their tradition. So I'll have tickets to give away for that tomorrow night. Also, don't forget, you can get details on the Spirit of the Big, or the Spirit of the Forest Bigfoot Festival that the Evening Edge is going to be sponsoring up in Greenville. That's happening in October, but there's details that you can find there. So have a great night. Don't forget, you can get the podcast at eveningedgetodd.com or other favorite podcast platforms. And I'll talk to you tomorrow just after 5 here on the Evening Edge.
Adios, cowboy.
I'm saying it's over.
I'm afraid that's all there is, my friend.
A mediocre evening.
Could have been worse.
That's it. Show's over.
Well, that was exhausting.
No more fun. No refunds.
Good night, Todd.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.